let's turn back the clock with Andy and Virginia.
Good morning.
Hi.
And welcome to another program of new and old recordings from our own personal collection.
Okay, Dyer, would you like to come in here and tell them who that was? It's Dyer Houston, our producer. That's his favorite group.
Any group of four people that sings out of tune is always the high lows. You don't have to tell any me nor anybody else.
You better watch out. We'll run over this morning.
They have disconnected fifths. They have...
They don't drink.
He says they don't drink. He knows them.
Who's writing your material these days, Dyer?
Winky. Winky.
What a combination that is.
Oh, well, they can only write our last program. Yeah, it would be Wink. Those were the high-lows, as you know by now, yeah. With Jerry Fielding's orchestra singing They Didn't Believe Me. You know, no one's allowed to talk in the studio when we're playing the high-lows.
No. Jerome Kern and Herbert Reynolds wrote this song for the 1914 musical, The Girl from Utah. Now, in case the melody of that version wasn't too recognizable, let's turn back.
That's all right, Dyer.
Now, listen, I got a beautiful one coming up here.
Oh, yeah?
Let's turn back the clock 18 years to 1941.
Yeah.
When movie star Irene Dunne.
Ooh, wow.
Sang They Didn't Believe Me.
Your curly hair are in a class beyond compare. You are the handsomest thing that one could see.
it's got a beat in it. The rhythm's got a lot of heat in it. I bet you 5, 10 to 5, it'll get you doing what it's doing to me. And when the Dixieland comes oozing out of it, the Dixielanders are proud of it. They call it jazz. What it has, that's a plenty for me. Let me take you down to New Orleans, down to Mamie's place in New Orleans. Listen to the tenor. Listen to the trumpet. Shut my big brown rolling eyes if you don't rock it to the skies. Hey, boy, that's a plenty for me. When the joint gets a jumping and the rummer hits something with a clang, clang. Comes in like a buster's gang, bang, bang. Skimmer, rink, a ring, a ding, ding. Get to beat it out, brother. There's no other remedy. And that's a plenty, the plenty for me. With a clang, clang, clang. Comes in like a buster's gang with a bang, bang, bang. Skimmer, rink, a ring, a ding, ding. You have to beat it out, brother. There's no other remedy. And that's a plenty, blah, blah, plenty for me. Take it away, take it away, take it away. That's a plenty for me.
Oh, that's one of the greatest things Hoagie Carmichael's ever done, I think. Well, of course, who could miss with Matty Matlock's All-Stars, huh? Yeah. Anyone could sing with that group. And they're singing That's a Plenty.
That's a Plenty was written in the early 20s by Lou Pollock as a jazz instrumental. Ray Gilbert added the lyrics years later. Here's one of the 1937 top small combos as we turn back the clock to 22 years ago when the Milt Hurt Trio played That's a Plenty.
Pretty good, too.
And now, Virginia, who continues with Turn Back the Clock?
Well, Andy, here's the new sound of Orrin Tucker, his saxophone, and his orchestra. Well, that was Orrin Tucker's orchestra playing Penguin in Pakistan. You could almost see the little penguin, couldn't you?
Yeah.
And it's from his new bel canto long play album, New Sounds.
Stories, success stories particularly, have always intrigued me, and where they have concerned music or musicians, I've been doubly interested. And today, there's something that I've often wondered, that I have heard, and that is why the letter B, second letter in the alphabet, has always meant so much to a band leader named Orrin Tucker. Why is that, Orrin? Any reason?
Well, at the time of selecting names for singers or vocal groups or whatever, I thought it was a good idea to have the name start with a B because there's a strong consonant and you could put a lot of punch into it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I felt as though that names that started with vowels were not as punchy, you know, and so that's mm-hmm. why I selected the Bailey Sisters, Bodyguards, Bonnie Baker, and so on.
Bonnie Baker. By the way, what was her real name?
Evelyn Nelson.
Evelyn Nelson.
Yes.
Had she ever sung with any other bands before?
Oh, I think so, in Texas, in a small way.
Uh-huh. And you changed your name to Bonnie Baker.
Yes.
To fit in with the B deal. And now your present vocalist, by the way, also has the B's in there.
Yes.
Betty Barclay.
That's right.
Well, getting back to Bonnie Baker, what is the story? How did you happen to revive a song like Oh Johnny Oh in 1938, a tune which had come out long about 1916? What's the reason for that? What was the reason for that?
When we were in Chicago at the Palmer House, they had an old-time show. It is a sort of a gay 90s show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Mariel Abbott, producer of the show, said to me, I'd like to have you find some tunes of that era. And so in rummaging around the old secondhand music shops, I found quite a few, such as Billy and tunes of that type. And I think we had several made up, like What Are Little Girls Made Of and things like that. We
mm-hmm.
had made up for Bonnie,
mm-hmm.
Which we played during that time and during the engagement of that old-fashioned show. And Oh Johnny was one of the tunes.
Mm-hmm.
And it got quite a bit of attention, but we didn't pay too much attention to it ourselves. And then we came out to the Mark Hopkins Hotel in San Francisco and down here to the Ambassador Hotel, and it was about 1939, and Columbia Records, which was Vocalion at that time, Vocalion in Brunswick, said, it's time for you to do another recording session. And so we went into the studio, and Old Johnny was one of the tunes that we used in that session.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it wasn't very long after that until when we were traveling along and on tour and all over the country that we started noticing that Johnny was one of the tunes that was showing up on the jukeboxes, much to our surprise.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to decide what the public is going to select.
You're right, Orrin. How many copies did that sell? Let's say to date it's probably still selling if it's still available.
I understand that it was about 1,600,000.
Uh-huh.
And in 1939, million sellers were a rarity. And
mm-hmm.
nowadays,
right.
There are quite a few per year. But at that time, why, one or two a year was quite a record.
Orrin, are you still using your theme song, your Drifting and Dreaming?
Yes, but we also use Especially for You, which has... had a hand in writing some time ago, and it has been used a good deal. Understand that some other shows have used Especially for You, too, for a theme song, but sometimes we open with Drifting and Dreaming and close with Especially for You, or something like that.
Why did you select Drifting and Dreaming?
Well, some time ago, my mother told me that was one of her favorite tunes, and we played it quite a bit, and I thought, well, maybe since it's her favorite tune, and since it stands for sweet music.
Yeah,
I think that
right.
I'll use
you're
it.
Right. Well, Orrin Tucker, it's been awfully nice having you with us today to tell us about these things. And I know that although you have your hands in quite a number of ventures, that music is still quite an important item to you, isn't it?
Oh, yes. We're still very active in music, much more than most people realize, because we play for so many private dances conventions, things of that type. But we... Mm-hmm.
You just closed at the Ambassador to Coconut Grove.
Yes, that's right. And we have a new album out that I hope that you'll find attractive.
That Bel Canto album?
That's right.
Yes, it's fine.
With the avalanche of interest in stereophonic sound, I thought that it was a good idea to go in and experiment with some of those things that can be right. So well demonstrated with stereo, and this album is the result of the interest that I built up in that development.
Uh-huh. And then you also have a little night spot over here on Beverly?
Yes, a corner of Beverly Boulevard and Western Avenue.
Let's get all these things in there while
yes. Well, the alcove is quite a popular place, and yeah. We have jam sessions on Monday night, and Jimmy Sheldon is there all during the week and does a wonderful job of entertaining, and we enjoy the place very much ourselves, and we hope you'll stop in again and see us.
We'll do that, Orrin. And what about these houses that you're also a builder?
Well, my father-in-law has been in the building business for 40 years. Uh-huh. He knows all about it, and
this keeps him out of mischief.
Huh? Oh, that's right. He does a beautiful job, and we've enjoyed very much building, and Betty decorates, and she does a beautiful job of that, I think, and has a wonderful color sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the houses that he has built are really anyone can be proud of.
Well, it's awfully nice talking to you today, Orrin Tucker. And come back and see us again. Will you do that?
Thank you, Andy. It's been a pleasure.
And now let's turn back the clock to Orrin Tucker's 1941 recording of his familiar theme, Drifting and Dreaming.
Thanks for tuning in.
And whether your choice of music is With Virginia for the New Records,
or whether you like to reminisce with Andy,
join us when we gather around the turntables tomorrow morning to
Turn Back the Clock.
Turn Back the Clock has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.